With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ramble Reacts. Newcastle United are back in the Champions League. It's Tuesday, 23rd of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Tim Campbell.
Well, Pete Donaldson, get that top off.
Get
Newcastle United are bloody back in the Champions League for the first time since 2003. Huge scenes of celebration in Pete Donaldson's bedroom right now. Yeah. Great scenes of celebration last night at St. James's Park. Peter, you must be pumped.
I am pumped, and it almost guarantees that I'm going to be on Ramble Reacts every single Wednesday or Tuesday. but I'm going to be drunk as hell.
Yeah.
It was, I got so excited I had to go for a shower straight after the game. Mm. I got so wet with anticipation, sweaty rather, and that sounded bad. And so I was wearing a robe, and I was like, I can't, if they use any of these clips to social, I can't be walking around on a show with really messy hair and a robe. So I've taken my top off. So I'm just putting a Newcastle shirt on. It's unrelated, but what a great situation for the fans of Newcastle United.
Just can't help yourselves, can you? The tops have to come off.
I've never seen you do this before. Come off.
but they're getting prepared. Here it is, even you.
But he needs to understand is that not every European away trip is in southern Spain or southern Italy.
Oh, they don't care. That's a challenge, surely.
True enough.
Zenit away. They want Zenit away.
Exactly. Rosenberg, are they still knocking about? I don't know. But I'm going back to the time when Newcastle were still in the Champions League. Of course, they join Arsenal in next season's Champions League as well, Jim. You must be delighted to have Newcastle United in the pot as well.
Yeah, well, I just don't want to be sat next to them on the train, I suppose. But yeah, the pots are fascinating. I've forgotten about the pots.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The pots can really make your life hell.
The pots can.
Well,
screw you over.
Spoke about this on the Ramble this morning, Jim. You were worried about Barcelona and Real, Barcelona and Bayern.
I believe possible in some of the permutations. I mean, it's silly to get ahead, but. You like it. You're up for it. This is it.
I was going to say, Jim, listen to you. There's loser talk already, and we want to avoid them. Whereas Pete and the rest of the Geordie Nation.
No, I want to get them. I want to smash them.
Pete and the rest of the Geordie Nation, and they are a nation, are saying, we want it. We want them all. Yeah. Get them down here. We'll give them a right good slapping. Tino Aspirieri will come back for he'll be in the crowd, and I'll leave it at that. and it'll be a lovely old time. But the atmosphere last night for that game against Leicester City, despite there being no goals, was quite something. Our very own Andy Brassel was there, and Andy sent us this message.
This sound you can hear now is the Newcastle United players doing their end of season lap of honour, which was really deserved. It's amazing to think that this squad, albeit with a couple of very expensive improvements, has made the Champions League. I think if you look at players like Jacob Murphy, Joe Willock, who wasn't playing tonight, of course, Joe Linton, Fabian Scher, that they've become players who've taken them into the Champions League. And they've not stolen it, they've completely deserved it. Is absolutely amazing. But this feeling around the stadium, actually, it's how it's been all season, and it's how it's been since Eddie Howe has been in charge, because he's completely changed the atmosphere around the place. Of course, it all starts on the pitch in terms of fitness, in terms of professionalism, which is radically improved under Howe. But just a sense of hope, since there's no Mike Ashley, something we talk about a lot, I suppose, on the Ramble this season. It's pretty amazing. You know, you've got a team that has a real connection with the fans, and the feeling around the club and around the city is unlike anything else since Kevin Keegan was in charge the first time, actually. Not even when they had a really brilliant team under Sabotti that was in the Champions League, was it quite like this.
It does sound pretty tasty. It sounded great on just watching on the television. But interesting what Andy was saying. Andy, man after all of our own hearts, mentioned Kevin Keegan's Newcastle and said this side has captured the Geordies' imagination like no other team since then, Peter, which are big words.
When
I remember Mike Ashley, those words don't seem that big, actually.
Well, because I guess like with Bobby Robson's European adventures and their Champions League sides, like there was a lot of players in there that, let's say, weren't necessarily pulling in the right direction, and they cost Bobby Robson his job in the end. Some might argue. So yeah, I think there's probably an argument to say that the Newcastle fans do see something very exciting about this side, and obviously it came after such a long period of time in the wilderness. And we've spoken about it so much this season, and we spoke about it at the back end of last season. And I have to mention it. This is tainted. It doesn't feel great, but it But there is still something in there for every Newcastle fan, I think. And you look at the scenes at the final whistle, and you look at what a party will be being experienced in the big market this evening. I mean, what an amazing experience after such a terrible 15 years. Mm. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I think one can't understate that bloody awful period under Ashley and how shite it was. And I understand what you mean when you just say it's tainted and so on. I mean, it would be difficult to go around every Newcastle fan at St James's Park and go, yeah, but remember, and that's why sports washing is so effective. Mm. But keeping it with the football, Jim, I mean, Newcastle, despite the increase in spending, and let's be honest, if you and I bought the football club, there would have been an increase in spending compared to Ashley. But they've not spent wildly, but there has been an increase in spending, but they've spent it well. But despite that, and some, getting some decent signings and da-da-da-da-da, a new manager, getting rid of Bruce was crucial. I didn't expect this, I have to say. I thought they would have a much better season. But this has been really impressive from Eddie Howe and his men.
Yeah, and I can't work out whether the ownership and the management team have massively overachieved or actually they've been so shrewd and smart and we've kind of underestimated them a little bit because it feels like they're ahead of schedule. We were saying that all season. You know, like 3 or 4 months ago, we were saying, oh, Newcastle, they look ahead of schedule, but it feels like, you know, they might go on a dodgy run of form or they might, you know, it might just sort of return a bit more to the kind of typical performances based on the trajectory you would expect, but that's not happened. They've maintained it. They've been really, really steely. Eddie Howe is clearly very, very good at getting a lot out of his players. They've shown a range of different styles as well. When you look at how they played when they came to the Emirates, and it was just a low block shit house, get everyone behind the ball, just play for a draw, get the draw, and then, you know, there have been times where they've blown teams away as well. They've got a lot of different sides to them, and he has done an incredible job. And I think it will take a while almost for that to sink in for Newcastle to get into the Champions League this season, because we've been able to see it coming for such a long time. It's perhaps lost some of the shock. Like who would have been backing them for that at the start of the season? You'd have been laughed out of town for saying that at the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's helped that Liverpool have had an off time and Chelsea have as well and so on. But that's taking nothing away from Newcastle because they've been bloody good.
They've still got the points on the board, right?
Well, they do. You literally cannot take that away from them. Unlike Juventus, lol. I mean, Newcastle, some of the players that have been putting in good performances this season, Peter, were the same ones under Steve Bruce, and it does show you how crucial a manager can be in football.
Well, you look at, obviously, our standout performers this season and the back end of last season were Joe Linton and Miggy Almiron. Like, no one saw Miggy Almiron have this incredible kind of late Newcastle career resurgence after really underwhelming for the first three seasons he's been there. Like, it's incredible that Eddie Howe's managed to sort of turn the fortunes of those footballers around. But it's not a surprise because he's clearly done that every point in the season with every footballer he's had. I mean, even sliding a player like Kieran Trippier into that side, like, he was the first signing, I think it was fair to say. And what are you smiling for, Marcus?
That's just
roll a clip, Finn.
Kieran Trippier, the man who is playing for the Spanish champions, he's playing in the Champions League, he played in the Euro 2020 final for England, it's a World Cup year. Is he going to go to Newcastle United?
Yes, he is.
Ridiculous. Why?
Is it ridiculous, though?
Yes.
Is it ridiculous?
Did you hear all the stuff I just said? That
even Gordon Ramsay has a Mackey's every now and again, doesn't he?
Yeah, having a good time with that one, aren't you? I stand by that.
Okay, cool.
Stand by that.
So, what, he's not going to go to Newcastle? Okay, fine. Absolutely fine.
Well, Kieran Trippier said after the game, I took a risk when I first arrived. So he admits it.
So, in a way, you're right, aren't you?
Team me in this, but I always believed in every decision I made.
But at that age, to see to affect such a change in that side and improve almost like single-handedly the delivery of balls. He's even improved Cher's dead ball game, yeah. And it was already pretty bloody good. You know, it's, I love watching Trippier play, and he's so busy, and he's so old, and he's so kind of like, it's amazing that they've managed to sort of, you could see him playing for the next 5 years doing what he does there. I think you would want a bit more defensive cover to help him out a little bit, but he's just having someone who can sort of deliver a football to help out Isak and Callum Wilson and players like that, and you know, even Dan Byrne popping up with the odd goal here and there, which is not something that they ever did at the start.
Yeah, I don't think Trippier is going to be running down the wing like that when he's 37.
No, yeah, I don't think so either.
I just have to say that.
I think he's got a lot in his tail. I think he can get up and down. He's a superb defender. He'd have more England caps if Kyle Walker wasn't in the same England team as him. I would say that I think Atletico Madrid have got more chance of winning the Champions League next season than Newcastle United.
What have you done?
That's not what you said, though.
So in a way, I'm trying to help Pete out. You know,
out in the group stage to Newcastle United.
Yeah, there you go. They'll get them. They'll bloody get them.
Thanks, Marcus. You're the best.
You're welcome. I mean, just briefly going back to Eddie Howe. I mean, when he took over, they were 5 points adrift at the bottom of the table.
It's heartwarming stuff, isn't it?
No Brucey bonus there. He took over 18 months ago, of course. And Eddie Howe, his CV before Newcastle wasn't, you know, it wasn't knockout stuff. And that's not to knock the man's career at all. I mean, at Bournemouth, you know, he did fantastic things, but the whole club was moulded in his image. It's interesting what the owners have done. They've let Eddie be Eddie. And I think that's been very, very important. Little word on the owners, Peter. What did you think of? There was a couple of them doing the crossbar challenge at half time during the match against Leicester.
Yeah, I'd like them to be ejected. Whenever they start that, I find their presence, even for a sports washing vehicle, I find their presence rather destabilising and upsetting, and I hate to say it. I really...
Well, this is it.
I hate the hero worshipping certain sections of the crowd have for those two. It really boils my piss.
It's sports washing in evidence, isn't it? It's essentially, this is the thing with football clubs, that people are emotionally attached to them.
But isn't it interesting that, like, the way that we experienced, the way that we reacted to Man City absolutely putting Real Madrid to the sword, it wasn't really enough the way we reacted to that match for Man City fans. But that's the thing, isn't it? Like, their attempt is to buy goodwill across the entire pantheon of football, but what they're actually buying is a cross-section of one particular club supporter base. And that is, and so the reaction that we have naturally to Manchester City just absolutely doing everyone over is quite heartening. I think we do sort of go, and we remember who they're controlled by, and the same with Newcastle United. Like it's you're buying the Geordies and nobody else, and I quite like that everywhere else in football has an issue with it. I like that Newcastle are, you know, have been kind of cast apart from everyone else, because like that shows, that gives me a bit of heart about the soul of football a little bit.
And it is such a shame that we have all that, because with a club like Newcastle, because of the ownership that we go on about that was before the current lot, and the scenes of celebration at St James's, it's very hard to begrudge those fans that, Jim, because it is great to see that. You want to see a likeable club like Newcastle. We've got a great fan base. You want to see them back in Europe. We remember the times many, many years ago when they were there, to have such a crap time, to now be enjoying it.
Yeah,
you don't want this kind of caveat, this kind of, but... But,
it's an inevitable consequence of it, but it's been like this for a long time, isn't it? Essentially, it has been like this since Abramovich took over. The idea that clubs such as Newcastle could kind of fight their way to a position where they might win the league organically is kind of over now. And I think we will probably get to the point, you know, particularly if Man United get taken over, where the league will become really competitive again, but it'll just be amongst those clubs, and it will be a far more disparate version of what's come before. But I want to go back to Eddie Howe slightly,
please,
if you don't mind, because it's very interesting to me the parallels between himself and Graham Potter, who were the sort of really the two great English hopes of managers who might go on and challenge to one day win the Premier League at a big club or manage England or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, be the sort of big name English managers of their generation. And the difference is astounding, really. And obviously there are very different circumstances at the two clubs, but the way that Howe has, you know, has to put it mildly, outperformed in that comparison is incredible. And he's sort of, it's not quite been forgotten, it's not quite been taken for granted, but he's just so quietly going along with it that it feels normal. It doesn't feel like an achievement. It feels like this is actually his level. And it's rare that we see these managers who we have these high expectations of raise their ceilings in that way. We sort of hope they can, and often they fall short of it. And I know it's perhaps harsh to judge him on this season and this circumstance, but Graham Potter is possibly one of those. And it's interesting. We still don't know how good Eddie Howe is. I think there's every chance he can be even better.
He's been aided by having two decent centre backs, I think, and that really did help not having Jamal Lascelles on the side. And I'll go back to him just being a player who found his level in the Championship and never really sort of kicked on because of the terrible management team that he's had to work with. But he's a manager that leads by example. He gets in at 6 in the morning, hits the gym, and he's in before everybody else, and he's there until it gets dark. Even Pep Guardiola, when he was told that Eddie Howe gets in the gym at 6 o'clock, he's like going, "Why? What? What? You need to sleep. I like sleeping."
Even Pep's going, "That's a bit intense, isn't it?"
Yeah, absolute mentality monster. But yeah,
it gets dark really late in Newcastle as well, right?
I do think with Eddie, and I've said it before, I think his methods and his kind of his inspirational kind of slightly, it's a bit high performance podcast the way he manages. Yes. manages. I
think world class basics,
and I do think that has a shelf life with certain footballers, and it'll probably help that he'll change his squad massively. I do think he's managed situations like Anthony Gordon, who I think has the temperament possibly to derail. I think he's managed Alan Saint-Maximin quite nicely as well. He's not had many minutes, and he'll probably go in the summer. But he's got a really, really happy squad, and he understands the importance of having a couple of Geordies in there for a laugh, Dan B, and the long staff and that. So yeah, it's been a really positive season, and there's just been so many great moments. And look, as a Newcastle fan, I love watching them win, and I love watching them achieve, and I love watching them fucking try, and we've not had that for 15 fucking years, and it's brilliant.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. I'd be foolish.
I mean,
to.
Steve Bruce was 18 months ago. Sort of forget that there wasn't a stepping stone manager between.
Yeah. He was kind of local. You didn't get behind him, did you?
No, you didn't. Actually, none of you did. I actually think he was doing an all right job.
Maybe in the queue for the kebab shop that he always gets spotted in, remember? He's always spotted in the kebab shop.
I don't remember it. I'm happy to go with it, though.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To run and does. Can he play a colleague through? It's Jacob Murphy released. Murphy one on one. Jacob Murphy to win it. Oh, no, just put it in the net!
It was obviously not the reason why they were celebrating, but a 0-0 at home to Leicester City. This Leicester City is quite an underwhelming result, but yeah, it was enough. It was enough. But let's turn our attention to Leicester City. And I think that it's not a bad point for Leicester.
Clip it.
We'll find out in a matter of days, of course. Obviously, a win would have been a really, really handy result. But if Leicester beat West Ham on the final day, all they are concerned about is Everton not winning. Whereas if they'd have lost the game, they would have had to have hoped that Everton would have lost and Leeds wouldn't have won. I think I'm right in saying that. They would have had to be concerned about Leeds' results. Now, because of goal difference, they're not worried about Leeds. Mm. And now Everton can draw and they can win. They had to win. They've got to beat West Ham. And a West Ham side that will have their attentions elsewhere in the Europa Conference League final, you would think. Everton are playing Bournemouth at home and Leeds host Spurs. So it's all to play for. It was an interesting way they set up in the game, Jim, because for most of the first half in particular, I mean, it really was like watching training ground stuff. Like Newcastle, you're to work on your attacking game. Leicester, whatever you do, don't even try to get the ball in there, even via a long pump downfield.
It only gets 10 men, wasn't it?
We talk about, you know, we talk very often about how teams, you know, barely get into the opposition's half. I was kind of keeping track of this, and unless I missed this because I was glancing elsewhere or something, I don't think Nick Pope was on screen until half an hour in.
He could have gone off somewhere, couldn't he? If he'd have come back, if he was drinking a cup of coffee, you'd have thought, he queued up for that quite a long time. For all we know, it was an incredible sort of dynamic that set in. But as the sort of the game went on, you thought, actually, you can see what Dean Smith is doing here, because Maddison was on the bench, Barnes was on the bench, and my giddy aunt, it nearly worked. You know, and in the last sort of, 5 minutes plus injury time, Leicester suddenly thought, shit, we might get relegated. We're going to actually have to start trying. Now, obviously, they rode their luck hugely. I mean, Guimaraes had that funny one that hit the post
That sums the game up for me.
Yeah.
So if you didn't see the game or you've forgotten this bit. So Vout fires, nearly scores an own goal, as is his, you know, party trick. and then Bruno Guimaraes essentially didn't have enough room to head the ball in without knocking himself out on the post. The ball comes back into play. Yes. Two Newcastle players essentially kind of get in the way of each other, run into each other a bit, and the ball gets cleared. It's like, it was that sort of game. It was 0-0, but it was really fun. Really entertaining.
It was a good because it meant so much to both sides. I mean, obviously Newcastle, a point was enough for them to qualify. But yeah, the way that Leicester came about, and then was it Castagne who had that effort, which I think he did all he could. Personally, he was sort of falling back, and I wouldn't say that, you know, he should have scored or anything. But then Pope was you know, called upon and made a great save. If Leicester had nicked that, my goodness, my goodness. But it did end 0-0. So, I mean, looking at the sides who were there. You know, Southampton have gone, of course. Leeds, it was a damning defeat against West Ham United. Would you reckon, Peter, you've got, as I said, just to remind you, Everton playing Bournemouth at home, a win would do it for Everton. To be honest, you know, they might not have to win. It depends on what the other sides are doing. Leeds host Spurs and Leicester play West Ham. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm kind of on, after watching that performance and watching that 5 minute spell where they had 80% possession, Leicester, for some fucking reason. I think Leicester might climb out, you know.
I think that the reason why I think it's a handy point is it's because it requires Everton to beat Bournemouth.
Yeah.
In that Leicester knew they would really realistically would have to beat West Ham. So if Leicester, so that's the sole focus. If Leicester can beat West Ham, which is a big assumption because Leicester are down there for a reason, but if they can do it, as I say, that now requires only for Everton to start, they would need to win, and Everton are not that good at winning games. They're not that good with Calvert-Lewin missing as well. It basically needs a Dwight McNeil screamer to sort them out. Has he used them all up this season? I don't know. So I think, Leicester, to me, suddenly there's a bit of hope there.
I'm sort of flip-flopping all over the place, to be honest. Because I look at Leicester there, and they have got better defensively in the recent history. But, obviously they got pumped by Man City and also your beloved Fulham, obviously. But, like, they have looked better defensively. But it's too late to be good defensively. You've got to win games at this point in the season.
Yeah, well, this
really,
is it, isn't it? The situation here is that's been a really good performance against Newcastle, but they'd be absolutely mad to play like that against West Ham because they just need to take advantage of every single one of those 90 minutes. Mm. I think it's very interesting that all three of these teams are at home. And I think that potentially sets up a situation where all three of them win and Everton stay up. Because I think with Everton, you're right, they're not particularly good at winning games. And I think we all thought Sean Dyche would have them a lot further away from this situation, that they'd probably be safe by now under his leadership. But I'm sure he can get them to throw absolutely everything at a Bournemouth team who don't really need it, really need anything at home.
West Ham are distracted as well, aren't they?
You could argue that definitely. But I just, you mentioned the Fulham game when Leicester were beaten 5-3, and 5-3 really flattered Leicester. Leicester were so crap. It looked like a side that were just totally resigned to the fact they were going to be relegated. After that game today, I think, hang on, there's a little bit of something there. Could Jamie Vardy be having a relegation survival party? Because it would be sad because Vardy's, we didn't think it would happen. We just thought he would go on and on and on and on. And, he may well, he will always be playing football. He will always be shithousing somewhere on a football pitch in England. But it would be a great shame that if the kind of Vardy and Leicester City story was to finish with him being relegated.
Him helping them stay up on the last day would be a really perfect kind of end note for that story. I think it would be really sad if Leicester go down. It's taken a while for this relegation battle to take shape. There was a point where, we were all convinced about 10 teams were going to go down. Mm-hmm. And all of them let us down by pulling away. But it would be a really, really sad thing to lose them, I think, because they're a lot of fun. But we're going to lose massive teams, whatever happens Sunday, which is a mad thing. All three promoted teams have stayed up. Mm-hmm. So you're going to lose a lot of, essentially furniture.
Mm-hmm. What's the funniest one? Is it Everton with their new stadium? Got to be, isn't it?
Man.
It's got to be up there, isn't it? That's got to be the funniest one.
But not because of Leeds. Because of Sam, yeah.
I tell you what, if they stay up, it will be... Well, that's it. He'll be an even wealthier man.
Yeah. Casa St. James's will pale in what he could build with that amount of scratch.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, by the way, chaps, I would imagine this is probably conditional if they stay up. But obviously, you remember when Leicester turned to Graham Potter, who had been sacked by Chelsea, and Potter immediately turned them down. Apparently, they're going to have another approach.
Oh, don't have another go.
How'd
you like me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd wait until Monday, Graham, if you're listening. Wait till Monday.
What I like about Leicester City's fixtures on the BBC website, because they're playing friendlies against Spurs and Liverpool in July, that's kind of concatenated on the end of their Premier League fixtures. So it looks like they've got more matches to turn it around, admittedly against Liverpool and Spurs, but still.
Does that still count? I don't know.
Does that count? Yeah.
I'd like to finish the show though, Peter, going back to Newcastle United and their European jaunt next season. Which European city do you want to have a scrap in the most next season?
I've said it this morning.
London. You want to get down to that London.
I want to be in Astana. I want to go Astana.
Yeah, I know. You like the weird ones, don't you?
I like a Where lovely long easy jet to Kazakhstan.
You went to which Romanian city did you Cluj.
Was it Cluj? It was Cluj. Maybe they'll be back in it.
On the 25th, not 25th, Jesus Christ, 100th anniversary of the creation of that country.
Incredible. Quite, oh, you've got a very exciting. Keen sense of history, Peter.
I know, yeah. I turned up and I was like, why is everyone, why is everyone as drunk as I am?
It's not normally the case.
Yeah.
And also, we were in Berlin once when it was the 25th anniversary of the wall coming down.
That's following true. It around. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Where there's a wall, there's a way.
There's a way. There's a ramble.
Well, there's not.
Yeah, well... There was for a bit, Jim.
Yeah, that's what the wall was for. So there wasn't a way. Thank you.
History it is this. Two parts to every historical story, according to some. So there we are. Well done, Newcastle United. Right, join us tomorrow for one of my favourite ramble guides of the season. It's the Football Ramble's Guide to Lasagna Gate. Yes, Tottenham Hotspur fans, we're looking at you. Myself, Pete and Jim and Vish reinvestigated one of the most dramatic plot twists to any Premier League season ever. And you can hear our findings first thing tomorrow. In the meantime, find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Have a good one, Petey.
See you later.
Have a good one, Jimmy.
You too, mate.
See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more... Then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.